Pesachim Daf. Today's Daf is Daf Dalid. We're holding Gimel on the base towards the bottom of the page. We're in the middle of the topic we've been discussing is the topic of speaking B'lashon Nekiya, and we reference different stories of people that spoke in Lashon Nekiya or vice versa. And we said Rav didn't want to look at the person who spoke in non-Lashon Nekiya. We said Hillel, Rebbe, said about a Talmud who spoke in Lashon Nekiya, he's going to be a Pesach. Then we have the three Kahanim that one of them described his portion in the Lechem HaPadim like the lizard's tail, and they found a psul, either a real psul nezichus or a shemetz psul nezichus, meaning or in his personality. Okay, but the point is we're on the topic of speaking Lashon Nekiya, so we digress a little bit to once we have this uninformed or this negative way of a person referred to Kachim, we refer to a story which relates to Karm Pesach and relates to asking for something unusual, even though it's not really part of the sugya of Lashon Nekiya. Says the Gemara, who are mothers? This Armenian guy, a guy, David Solik. He would go up to Yushlayim, Vach Pesach Yushlayim. He's a guy, and he would join in the Pesach, in the groupings of people, join their group and eat Karm Pesach. And no one thought to really check out his yichus to see that he wasn't Jewish. Amar, he said to Rebbe Meseri, he was bragging. He says in the pasuk in the Torah, it says a stranger shouldn't eat it, and nor should a person who doesn't have brismila, even a yid who doesn't have brismila, shouldn't eat the Karm Pesach. Vana, I got both those concerns. I'm an aro, I'm a guy, says this Armenian, and I still eat from the best part of the Pesach offering. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira wanted to stop this guy's shenanigans. Amar, he said, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Mika Sofalei Me'alya, do they give you from the tail, from the fatty tail? Now the fatty tail, we know, is Makrev on the Mizbeach. So he said to this guy, do they give you from the fatty tail? He said, no. He said, no, they don't give him for that part. So when you go up, make sure once you're getting, make sure to get from the best part. Let's see if you can get that. So when he got up to Yerushalayim and he told the people, feed me from the fatty tail, they chop something's up. They said to him that the fatty tail goes up like a goes gets burned on his bayach. Armor lace. Then they said to him, "Man amalachachi," because maybe he made it clear that he was told to ask for the tail. So they said, "Who told you this?" So he said, "Who told me the Gadol Dar?" Amar Rebbe Meseira. He said, "Rebbe Meseira told me." Amar Mayhai Kaman. They said, "What's going on here? Everybody knows that the tail of the Karm Pesach is burnt. The fatty tail is burnt on the Mizbeach. Why would Rebbe Meseira be telling him to ask for peace? Ah, oh, must be there's something over here that we got to be looking into." But Kabasrei, they checked into this guy Vashchinu Darmo. They checked into him and found out that he was an Arma. He was this a real guy. Vikatlu, and they killed him. Shalchle Rebbe Meseira. They then sent the message to Rebbe Meseira. Shalom Lachar Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira. You're out in a sivim, yet your net, your trap is spread out in Yerushalayim. Meaning, even though you're over there, you were able to set up a system that we can catch him and punish him and deal with him properly over here with your chachma. Okay, that's the story. Again, it was really, it is ironically enough about a tail again. And we have the story of the guest saying the Kainim referred to the Lechel Panim as lizard's tail. I didn't see Rashi make that connection, but the overall connection is that he was told, in this case, he was told, instructed to ask for something which off color, which he shouldn't have, and that lets them discover who he is. It's after the other kain described, it relates to the Gemara of the kain describing his portion of the Chapadim in, again, an off color way that he shouldn't have either. That's the connection. Now, why was he? Why did they kill him? Is he chayv misa? Is a guy? We know guy. Rama says a guy should shavas chayv misa. A guy that does certain things is chayv misa. One of the zayim mitzvahs, if he doesn't keep, is chayv misa. V'lechayra stamas a eating karm pesach as a benechar. We have an issur called benechar leichavai. Is a guy chayv misa for that? So there's a discussion in the Achorin, and perhaps why the Chayv Misa, and the Tzibbon wants to suggest that he was a guy who walked into the Azari. He didn't just stop and get a piece of the Karban Bezach, he actually made himself like one of the people involved, and he actually walked into the Azari like a regular Yid, a guy, the Chamo Masak, and every guy's din of Tumah. So he becomes like a Tummy, the one of the Azari, and therefore they gave him Misa, which is a Chiddush, because the guy's Tumah is only Durabun. Durabun said he's automatically Tummy, his din of Tumah. He's not really Tummy, and therefore we're saying, oh, Durabun, the Tumah, that's how they gave him Misa, but that's how the Tzibbon wants to explain. Otherwise, hard to understand why they gave him Misa. The Michas Chinuch wants to say, and the Rebbe Chanan also suggests the same, that this is included in the Zayim Mitzvahs. Zayim Mitzvah is one of them is Gezel, you're not allowed to steal. A guy is Chayv Misa for stealing. And therefore, in this case, they stole from the people's Karm Pesach, and therefore he's Chayv Misa for the stealing. That's what makes him Chayv Misa. Another question, before we're by the over here, by Taisa already asked the question is, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in Netzivan? This is Erev Pesach. Why was he in Netzivan? What about being Oyle Regal? So Taisus, if you jump into Taisus, Vana Achilna Me'ayim Mikasafalach, Taisus says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bzeira, Shale Allah, Leregel. Why wasn't it Leregel? Second dice from the bottom of the page. Yeshlaim Eshlaim Eshlaim like Karka. Either didn't have Karka in Eretz Yisrael or in Yeshlaim, therefore he didn't have to go up. Isaac and I was older, and Yechla Alech Ragel wasn't able to go to Pater. Pesach like Maria, he's part of Pesach or like Ria, or Mitzvim was a place of Chutzlaretz. Ainam Chayiv to go from Chutzlaretz to Eretz Yisrael. These are the various answers that Tosfos gives. The first Rabbah, that's very nice about Eila Regel, but that makes you mamish part in carbon Pesach, which Tosfos does say. Tosfos wants to suggest you part from Pesach like you part from Ria for Eila Regel. Other Mefarshim are not so happy with this because they understand that maybe part from Eila Regel, but Mechayiv not a Ptur from carbon Pesach. Derech Chayiv we know is a Ptur from carbon Pesach, and that's the Slach's answer. That's Mitzvim wherever it is. Eretz Yisrael Chutzlaretz was Derech Chayiv. It was far away. Derech Chayiv. We know that's the exact pasuk which describes when a person is able to bring a Pesach Sheni because he missed Pesach Rishon because he was either Tamei or Bederech Rechaika. So Rabbi Yehuda was Bederech Rechaika. That seems to be, that's the Tzlach's explanation. However, the Mechas Chinuch argues that Tzlach, and really this is a fundamental Mechaikas, that Tzlach says that he actually speaks out. He was Bederech Rechaika, and don't say, well, Pesach doesn't just sneak up on us. We know after Adar comes Nisan, and we know 15 days to Nisan is Pesach, so he should have done the appropriate preparations to be closer in order to be able to get there. Rechaika, why is that an excuse? So that's not a taina. The din is that you are where you are, and if when Pesach comes, you're too far away and it's too difficult, then, or the day before Pesach, if it's too far to travel, then you have a tour of Derech Rechaika. That's a tzlach. And Mechas Chinuch argues and says, no, it doesn't make sense. He argues and says, obviously, it's not like there's some sort of surprise that happens all of a sudden. Every year, you know when Pesach is, you know when it's coming, so you should take the proper preparations to be able to be Eila Regel, and it's not an excuse that right now it's too far, and this seems to be a fundamental Mechaika tzlach and Mechas Chinuch when we talk about being prepared for a mitzvah. How fight do we say we have to be prepared? Do you have to take into account a few steps down the road or not? We discussed a similar idea, not exactly the same, in Shabbos. We discussed that when there's a sakanas nefashos, you're mechal Shabbos, of course. We discussed, is there a din that if you know doing something is going to put you in a matziv of sakana, or a person in a matziv of sakana, like a bris milah for a baby without hot water? That's where we had the conversation. So doing the bris in a case of hot water is going to put the baby in a matziv of sakana, and once in a matziv of sakana, you're going to have to mechal Shabbos. So would that tell us don't do the bris in the first place, even though, again, you mechal Shabbos in general for the bris milah itself is a chal Shabbos, but not necessarily for these preparations. Again, Rabbi Lezer's machshir, even machshirei milah, so according to him, wouldn't be a shayla, but according to the other shitas, that you're only allowed to do what couldn't be done before Shabbos. What could be done before Shabbos, you can't do. So if you don't have hot water, do you say, do the milah now, and once the baby's a matzah sakana, okay, you mechal Shabbos, you eat up water for a baby in a sakana, or no, ezu chacham reis anaylad, you know if you give the baby a milah, you're going to need hot water, and therefore you have to come to mechal Shabbos, and therefore you can't do the milah. That's a mechalikus we had over there in Shabbos. I think it's a similar, again, not exactly the same, a similar type of idea. How far down the line do we have to look when it comes to Torah, when it comes to mitzvahs? Do we have to plan ahead? Obviously, having good plans in general is a method for success. But in terms of the shame einus, in terms of the, in both these cases, that's what I'm relating, the shame einus, where now the baby's in Masa Sakana, Mechal Shabbos. Right now, he's far away. Should he have looked at this two steps down the road or not? Seems to be a Mechalikas here, Slach and Michal Chinuch, similar to the Mechalikas we spoke at way back when. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. We're going to have three stories now where the stories relate to using not as much Lashon Nekiyah, it is Lashon Nekiyah, but not being the bearer of bad news. So when it comes to bad news, instead of saying explicitly, these people they don't want to say it from their mouths, three stories where the people are going to just allude to it. They're going to let the other side infer, but they don't want to say, they don't want to be the bearer of bad news. And it's definitely on Haga that, I mean, Agamar is the biggest proof to this concept, but it's on Haga that Chazal bring, is on Haga Teva. There's no mitzvah to be the bearer of negative news. It says the Gemara, Rav Kana Cholosh, Rav Kana was not well. He got sick. Shadu Rabbanan Rav Shua Milmer Edi Rav Edi, Rabbanan Shadu Shua Milmer Edi, and they sent him, Zilbadek Medine. Go see what is literally what his din means, what his din is. Means go see what his status is. Also, Ashkel Denach Nafshe. He went and he found that Nebuch Rav Kana passed away. Karve Lilavushe. So he tore his beged in El Tavelos. Rav Kana was a gadol, gadol adar. He tore his beged in avelus. Vahadri the kar lachayr. But look what he did. He turned the inside out. He made sure the tear was not noticeable. So when he came back, it shouldn't be nicker that right away that Rav Kana had been nifter. That's tanamat. Walking back with tore begadim is tanamat. Just telling the people uvachi vasa. And he came back and he was crying. Amrulei, they said to him, nach navshe. And did he die? Even from the crying, they're able to see. Why are you crying? Is it that he passed away? Amalu. So Rav Yeshua. Said back to the ones who sent them, you said it, not me. Anale Kamina, I didn't say those words from my mouth. You said it. Umaytse diba, who ksil. One who speaks out a word, the wording is a ksil is a fool. It means like speaking out negative tidings, even if they're true, is not something. There's no mitzvah to go proliferate bad news. Okay, Yoichanan Chakai Nafik Gresa Yoichanan Chakai went out to the villages to go check on the crops. He asked when he came back. Amalei said to him, "Chitanasu Yafis, did the wheat turn out well? That's the primary crop. Is the wheat? Did it turn out well?" Amalei said back to them, "Sayrim Nasu Yafis, the barley turned out well." Obviously, meaning to say the barley was well, but the wheat was not. He just didn't want to say those words from his mouth. Amalei, they said to him, "Say Uvise Lususim Chamayrim Dichsiv Aser Vateven Lususim Rechesh. Go give your message. Give your news to the animals. Who eats the barley? Barley is typically used, like we always say, is animal fodder. That's why we give it by the Saita. We say that's why the mincha of the Saita is the mincha of barley, right? It's a testimony. It's a little bit of a musr to the maisa that potentially was done over there. So the point is that it's considered a maichel behema. So therefore." They said to him, "Why are you telling us about the status of the barley?" Now, obviously, he was doing it in order to allude to them that the wheat was no good. But they still weren't happy with it because what he chose to talk about is animal food. What should he have said? The Marg understands what his point was to avoid saying negative. What should he have said in the same vein to get the message across by speaking positive and having a negative inference? He says, he could have said, "Mavla Memer," you know what he could have said? "Last year the chitim was good," and then people would have chopped, "This year is no good. We'll pick a different species. The lentils turned out good." The lentils are something that people eat. So he should have said lentils turn out good. He should have picked something else that people eat as opposed to what animal eats, and therefore that was a little bit of their knack. But the point is, overall, this Rav Yechanan Chakukai, he did not want to utter from his mouth a negative message. He only wanted to at least give them the information, I day inferring it. So actually this morning by this year, when we spoke of this idea that some people, they're very eager to spread, let's say, you know, if someone ever passes away or something bad happens, they're eager to spread it. So we point out that seemingly from our Gemara, it's definitely not a good habit to do. So someone pointed out, but the Maisa, people want to know, people need to know. It's something, it's important. You put out the signs, people want to know. So of course there's a balance. Obviously there's a concept of people needing to know, but you see for the Gemara, even when people need to know, over here, Yechanan Chakai is giving over the message and he still was only giving it over b'remiza. It's not a stira. You see that even when you give it over, because it's important that people need to know this information, you still give it only over b'remiza. And I think we could extrapolate a step further, is if it's something that's not needed to be known, and not to minimize the fact that if there's a tzara or something bad happens, that's very sad, but if it's something which is not relevant to the people that you're telling it to, then perhaps it shouldn't be said at all. That's what we take out from this Gemara. Now we have a third story along these lines, top of the Amud. Donald and Aleph, Rav, we spoke this out in Erevin, we spoke about this idea, this relationship, we spoke about it many times in the past, but here's the black white Gemara about this. We spoke about a couple times towards the end of Erevin, about Rav Chia being Rav's uncle on two sides. Our Gemara spells out for us black and white, top line. Rav barachud Rav Chia barachse. Rav was Rav Chia's brother was Rav's father, and Rav Chia's sister was Rav's father. Now, lest you think that Rav Chia's brother and sister were related to each other and they married each other, obviously they'll be prohibited. That would be a terrible story. So that cannot be that Rav's parents were living b'isser. What it means is that Rav Chia, Rashi explains, Rav Chia had from his father, had a brother named Avu, we'll see in a minute, who was Rav's father. Rav Chia's brother from his father was Avu, and Avu was Rav's father. Rav Chia had a sister, from his mother, who was Rav's mother. These two people that were both Rav Chia's half brother and half sister were completely unrelated. They shared nothing in common. No mother, no father in common. So Rav Chia was ultimately Rav's uncle two ways. He was the father's brother and the sister and the mother's brother, but they themselves, of course, were not related. Fine, that's the Yichas. That's where he actually used to call him Chavivi. And we had the Gemara elsewhere, he called him Chavivi. Chavivi is like a loved one, my favorite one. Okay, story goes, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos exactly how the story goes. We'll first explain like Rashi, and then we'll just point out the nuance that Tosfos changes from Rashi. So Kisal HaKlasim, when Rav Chia came up, when Rav came up there to Stroll, so Rav Chia, Amalei Rav Chia said to Rav, he asked him, Avu Kayim? Rashi Tosfos Avu, again, Avu is Rav's father. So he's asking him, is my brother Avu Kayim? Amalei, so Rav said back to Rav Chia's uncle, Ema Kamis? So the way Rashi touches is actually a question for him. Is my mother Mekayim that you're asking such a question? Why are you focused on the father, not the mother? The answer is while he was doing the old bait and switch or a distraction, because the answer was that he was wanted Rav Chiya to realize that no, that Evu is no longer alive. But he said, let's focus on the mother on purpose to kind of infer, I don't want to talk about Evu. Then Sir Rav Chiya said, okay, nu, Amalei Ima Kemes, is your mother alive? Again, that's Rav Chiya's sister. Amalei Evu Kayim, is Evu alive? So Amalei Shame, so Rav Chiya was smart. He got the message that both his brother and sister, both of Rav's parents had passed on. She said to Shamish, Chalitzli Manol, take off my shoe, Manoli, because of Avelos, take off my shoe, Halich Kaili, Achle Beis Merchitz, take my Kalim after me to Beis Merchitz, carry my new clothing, fresh clothing to Beis Merchitz, which is, seems to be funny. Why is he going to Beis Merchitz? He just took off shoe because of Avelos. The answer is the next words. So the next words, says Gemara, Shmami Natlas, you learn from the story three things. Shmamina Avos Ben Isasandal. First of all, you learn that Avos Asun Isasandal. Shmamina Shmur Chayka in the Negus Al Yamechad. You learn from here that the duration of Avelus when you hear the Shmua after a long period of time is only one day. If the Avelus, we spoke out earlier in one of the more recent Masechtas, that's 30 days. It's called the Shmur Chayka. But a Shmur Chayka, once it's passed a certain amount of time that the death's already happened, then the person who hears about it has to have Avelus, but only one day. But not only that, we know the last day of Avelus, so when you have a 7-day Shiva, the last day, we get up in the morning, and you finish, you sit for the drop and mix up Kikulei. So on this one day, it's mix up Kikulei. Shema Amina, mix up Kikulei. So he took off his shoes, and he said, take this off to the bathhouse, because right away, once he's naig Avelus for a little bit, that's sufficient, and he's able to go back to the bathhouse, and that's okay. Fine, that was the Gemara. Now, that's according to Rashi, who was learning that Rav Chiya was asking about his brother and sister, Rav's mother and father, and Rav responded, each one, you asked about the mother, you asked about he responded about the mother, in order that Rav Chiya should infer that they're not around. Taisus, look at the Divra Masel, top of Taisus, so top page on the page, he has clearly a little bit of a different gersa. His gersa says, Abba Kayim, Rav Chiya asked Rav, is Abba Kayim, is father alive? Amalei Abba Kayim said, father's alive. Ima Kayim, Amalei Ima Kayim, he says, is mother alive? He said, mother's alive, which would not be the same story, then what's the Avelus? So the way Taisus explains what it means is, Rav Chiya was not asking about his brother and sister. Rav Chiya was asking about his own father and mother. Remember, Rav Chiya's father was Rav's father, Evu's father, was Rav's father's father, was Rav's grandfather. And Rav Chiya's mother was also, right, Rav's grandmother. Rav Chiya's father was Rav's grandfather from his father's side, and Rav Chiya's mother was Rav's grandmother from his mother's side. So Rav Chiya was asking about his own, about Rav Chiya's father and mother. And Rav responded about his own father and mother. So let's go back again. Rav Chiya said to Rav, is my father, this is Rav Chiya speaking alive, which is your grandfather Rav, and Rav responded, my father, Ave was alive, your brother, Rav Chiya, your brother Ave was alive, which infer from there that their father had already passed on. And then somebody said, is my mother alive? And Rav answered, no. Your sister, my mother's alive, and inferred from there that his mother was nifter. So the same idea, really. The big difference is that Rav Chiya, according to Tosfos, was now in Avelos for his father and mother that had passed on. According to Rashi, it was the short-term Avelos for his brother and sister. And actually, we'll see if that plays a role in our conversation. Before we go back to the Gemara, just one or two quick points on this. First of all, the Rishayim will bother already. We say Shema Mina that he took off his shoes that it avils usher in Nilas Sandal. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel not to act. Tells Yecheskel, I'm sorry, not to act like an avil who doesn't wear shoes. It's pretty clear that avil is not supposed to wear shoes. So why do we need our Gemara with the story with Rav Chiya to teach us that an avil doesn't wear shoes? So some Rishayim would answer that the chiddush is even though it's a shmur rechayka, it's a shmur that you heard far away after distant time from the death. You heard it after the death, and you're not really having proper full avelos. Still, you have to be naik on that one day of avelos. You have to be naik, including the avelos with nios sandal. Ramban is still bothered by this answer. Ramban's bothered because Ramban says that I don't understand. If it's a din of Avelus, Avelus includes taking off the shoes. Avelus includes not wearing regular shoes. So what's the chiddush that just goes to Shmur Chayka? Once you tell me it's Naig Yemechad, of course that includes not wearing shoes as well. So Ramban says actually almost an opposite approach. Ramban says, Fakir, there's a big chiddush over here. You know what the chiddush is? When you have a Shmur Chayka, when you have So Ramban says, when you have a Shmur Chayka, the chiddush is that you only have to do Nils Asandal. The other Avelus, which is turning the bed upside down, not washing one's body, not having Tashmish, not learning Torah, all those things are mutter. The only thing that you have to really keep is not wearing shoes. That's what Ramban takes out for this Gemara. Shma Mina, Nils Asandal is all you need to do when you have a Shmur Chayka. That is the chiddush. Not the general of the Asbar Nils Asandal, we knew that. It means this type of Avelus. Now the first discussed, they point out that maybe makes a chilek in Rashi Taisvis. Because Rashi's learning that Rabbi Chiya was saying aveilus for his brother or sister, right? So maybe over there, it's more of a chiddush, shmur rechayka, only one day, but maybe for a father and mother, it would be more chamer, according to Taisvis, talking even my father and mother, that plays the Daf Kamina in these diukim, in the Rishayim, what type of status of aveilus there is. We're saying, according to Taisvis, we're focusing this even into a father and mother. Okay, on these three stories that we pointed out, that first we had the story of them sending Rav Yeshua Breit Rav Idi to find out if Rav Kana was still alive, Nebuchadnezzar is dead. We asked Rav Yechanan Chakukai, went to see about the wheat, and it was no good. He said the barley's good, or he should have said the last year's wheat's good, but the wheat was no good. It was all three stories about Be'abasuris, that they were only given over in an indirect way. And again with Rav telling his uncle Rav Chiya that whether it was the grandparents that were nifter, or whether it was his parents, it was Rav Chiya's siblings that were nifter, but he gave it to them again. He gave it to Rav Chiya also in a backwards way, not directly, because he didn't want to give over that bad Basura. So Chassam just points out we have three stories about Be'abasuras. The first and last are related to death. They have death involved. And the middle one was about wheat, which, again, not to minimize, it's people's parnasa, it's people's food. It's very important. But seemingly, it would make sense to put the ones about Misa together and the one about wheat separate. It's funny that we split it up. We have a case of Misa, of death, the case of wheat, and then we have the case back of Misa again. It's funny that we're splitting it up. Is there some reason to it? Says some sefer, very interesting. The first case of Misa wasn't even a relative. It was one of the G'day Ladar. It was Rav Kahana, but it was fresh. It had just happened. They went to go find out where it was. The last they checked, he was sick. They went to find out what happened, and he had been nifter. That was fresh. In our last case, we're talking about Shmur Rechaika. Some sefer wants to say that perhaps the Gemara purposely split it to teach us a chiddush, that once it becomes a Shmur Rechaika, not to minimize the tragedy, of course, whenever a relative of someone is nifter, is always a tragedy, but mitzad avela shabai, mitzad the depression shabai, and lagabra sugar, mitzad the bad news shabai, if it's something that the person's only finding out so much later after it happened, if it's already status of Shmur Rechaika, they weren't in such communication regardless. Again, not to minimize overall the sadness, the overall general sadness, but from an avelus, from a depression, from an hugus avelus type of idea, it would be more leicht. And that's why they more purposely put it after the wheat, because it's taka, not so chamer like misa. You have regular misa, you have wheat, and they have a shmur rechaika, where the people are not that close, that they find out so much later. If you find out so much later, again, whether it's a month, whatever that year is, depending on, you know, what the case is, the standard is, mom, we say it's a month, but if it's at least a month later, it doesn't have the same status, the same level, just like the avail is only one day, it doesn't have the same level of bad basura as a regular misa, therefore it's put separately, that is the sub-sefer. Now, one other point in this mixed kikulei, we spoke about mixed kikulei, part of the day is like the full day, we said therefore he only sat shiva for part of the day, took off his shoes, then went to the base of mechas right away. The shaila is this could be a whole this topic of mixed kikulei can certainly warrant at least one entire shir on its own just on that topic and maybe more, probably more. But one basic question that they ask of mixed kikulei is when do we apply it? Meaning we know for avelos we're saying we apply it, but why don't we apply it? Let's say Shabbos Yom Tov, Shabbos morning. All right, mixed kikulei. You can already start doing malacha after you do a little Shabbos in the morning. Do a little Yom Tov in the morning. Start doing malacha. Obviously, we don't say that. Why not? What's the agdara when we say mixed kikulei and when we do not? So the Taz wants to explain that mixed kikulei is only said specifically by things like avelos, by when you're doing counts, legabe tuma, we could have in certain scenarios mixed up kikulei, and because when we talk about negatives and isurim like that, when that's low focus, you have mixed up kikulei. When you have positive, even though of course Shabbos has with the isurim, you end up with isurim, but there's also positive commandment to rest on Shabbos, to be mekadosh Shabbos, to sanctify Shabbos, to sanctify Yom Tov. When there's positive commandments, no mixed up kikulei. That seems to be the Taz. I think it's the Taz. Is my halakha. I saw it brought down. That's the Taz. The Briskerov has a nice lumdish chilik. You have to know for all the cases how to apply it, but he has more of a lumdish chilik. And he says quite simple. There's a chilik between countings that people do personally and countings that are done on the calendar. Shabbos is every 7 days of the week on the calendar. Yom Tov is 15th of the month, Pesachim, and Nisan is Pesach. 15th of the month in Tishrei is Sukkot. Obviously, Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. Yud Tishrei is Yom Kippur. These are calendar days. There's no mixed kikulei when you have calendar days. That whole calendar day is that Yom Tov, is that Shabbos. When people have dinim to count personal things, that's when we say, by Tuma, we'll say it over here, by Avelis, that's when we say mixed kikulei, that's what Dagdari gives. Again, you have to fit in every place. The Zion, the key, and the Isha has to keep. Maybe to an extent, there's certain things that we say mixed kikulei, but for the most part, we don't say mixed kikulei. Isha would have a full din of Anita till the end of the seventh day. We don't say mixed kikulei. So that's certainly a personal count. It's not based on a calendar. And still we say it. So you have to know exactly in every case that if the Briskerov, I think the overall side is a nice chap to make a general distinction. Shabbos Yom Tov is a non-starter. That's not even a question because those are regular. Those are regular calendar days. Okay, so next Gemara. Hahu, more Gemaras that are focusing on people's what they say. Over here, it's not so much about Lashon Nekiya. Over here, it's more of, based on what they say, we can infer about who they are, the Yichus. Hahu, Damar Dunedina. There was a guy who always said, let's go to court, take it to court. He's very busy taking judgments to court. It's a right that he comes to Shevedan. Like the Pasuk says by Shevedan. Dan Yadin Amay, Kacha Shifte Yisrael. Dan should judge his people like one of the Shifte Yisrael. Dan was very busy judging, so the people that are very big, busy into judgments, that are running to court, it makes sense to say that they're from Sheva Dan. Similar story, I mean, not similar, similar type of story. Hahu, because of Amr, this guy walking around saying, Akif Yam Asisna Birasi. I want my dwelling to be, my palace to be at the shore of the sea. You know, who wants to live by the water? But they checked after Zichas and found he comes from Sheva Zvulun. Why? It says that Zvulun, by the bracha of Zvulun, it was said that his portion is going to be by the seashores. So this person wants to live by the seashores. It makes sense that he's from the Yichus of Zvulun, similar idea to what we had before. Rabbi Kana pointed out to me yesterday when I was learning this Gemara, he pointed out that it's interesting because Zvulun, when he was first told about his location by the seashores, he wasn't happy. And it was explained that why there's certain bracha to it, and he said, okay, he's appeased, he was happy. But it's funny that ultimately he wasn't originally happy that about being by the seashore, and was saying ultimately the descendant of his, it says specifically he wants to live by the seashore. Now Ben Yehuda points out a very basic question. He says, why in the first case, if you're Medayik, the fellow just said, let's go to court. And they said, he must be Shevet Dan. And the second story, when the fellow said, I want to live by the water, they obeyed the Kachrav, they checked, and they said, he's from Zvulun. But they had to check. And the first guy didn't even check, they just took for granted, he's from Dan. Says Ben Yehuda, because it's a very simple chilek. By living by the seashore is very normal. A lot of people want to live by the water. It's convenient, especially back in the day, it was a source of water for drinking, it was a source of water for bathing, perhaps, and it's usually a very aesthetic and pleasing, it's a nice place to live near the water. And therefore, the fact he wants to live near the water is not necessarily indicative that he's from Shevet Zvulun. We needed to have Bader Kachrav, we needed to have to check. It makes sense, because Zvulun had the bracha being by the seashore, but you need to check because it wasn't so clear. It wasn't an automatic. Whereas going to court, someone that constantly wants to have things judged by judges, that's a really abnormal, very unusual behavior. Therefore, they were able to surmise he must be for Shevet Dan that's busy with judgments. Otherwise, he wouldn't be running to court all the time. They didn't even have to do bedika. They were able to say with confidence he's for Shevet Dan without even doing a bedika. Okay, says Gemara. Now that we finished the first, really, we had the Mishnah talking about doing Bedika on the night of the 14th. We spent the whole Amud figuring out what R means, more than a blot, I should say, figuring out what R means. And we proved that R means the night of the 14th. And the Lashon was Lashon Nekiya. That's what we got to this point, really. So right now I was just bothered, if that's the case, why? Why is the Bedika being done on the night of the 14th? On the night of the 14th, 14th is Erev Pesach. Why is it being done on the night of the 14th? L'chara, do the Bedika as close to the Isra of Chametz, which is when? Chatzais, during the daytime of the 14th. That's when the Bedika should be done. Says Mar Vashti, Kaim, Lod, Kulam, or two. Now that we said everyone agrees with you, Dan, and Bavuna, both really agree. The Taichi, the word Arna Mishnah, is nighttime. Michti, Bein Rabbi Yudah, Bein Rabbi Meir, Psycho, Dubit, Psycho, Dubit, Meir, which we're going to have. And the end of today's daf, we probably won't get there tonight, but it's the end of today's daf, and we'll focus more on tomorrow. This Machlaik is exactly when the Isra Chil starts. But they both agree. Everyone agrees on a biblical level. The Isra of Chametz starts when? By nightfall. By Chatzais. Chametz in Aser Ella Mishesh Asmala. Chametz Aser is from 6 hours and on. Rashi Ovi actually throws in the Chametz being Aser, not just Bachila, in the Isra of Bayura Bayamatz, which is interesting because the Southern Shunim argue and say, what? Bayura Bayamatz is only from nighttime. The Isra of Chametz may be for Chatzais during the Zman of Karm Pesach, during the Beinar Bayam, Meshach Karm Pesach, you don't have Chametz anymore. But the Isra Bayura Bayam, you don't have Chametz. Right? But the Isra Bayirah Bayim Matzah, that's only when Yom Tov starts. Rashi seems to be saying that clearly even the Isra Bayirah Bayim Matzah starts now. Okay, but the point is, the Gemara is bothered, why are we doing a Bedika the night before? Do Bedika right before Chatzais. Nivdek Peshis, in the sixth hour. In the sixth hour, the hour before Chatzais, do the Bedika then. Make sure to get rid of all Chametz at that time. And don't forget, they didn't have these mansions, these massive houses. You could do Bedika and search the house at that time. And if you find Chametz, get rid of it before Chatzais. Why are we busy checking it the night before? V'chitim is reason makdim mitzvahs. Maybe tell me as far as reason makdim the mitzvahs. No, even so, Nivdek Mitzafra. Even if you go with the logic of reason makdim the mitzvahs, we like to do mitzvahs as soon as possible. Right? So once it's the mitzvah on the 14th, do it the night before. Not true. Do it at least, always have to go back to it in the morning. Dechsiv, like it says, says in the pasuk that eighth day that the basar, the basar erla should be should be cut off is obviously the mitzvah of Mila, of circumcision. V'tanya, we learned in the Brayis regarding the mitzvah of Mila. Klayim kula kasha Mila, whole day is kasha Mila, elish is reason, makdim the mitzvahs, where Zerus do mitzvahs, and where do we see these reasons from? Shinem v'ashkam avram baker. Now Rashi seems to almost make it sound like v'ashkam avram baker was the guy of his Mila. It's not. V'ashkam avram baker is in, we'll see actually, it was pointed out from Taisis. It's actually in two places. It's by, both by, of course, going to do that Keda. Everyone knows, right? Avram Baker, he got up early to go walk to the Akedah, and also it was by going to save Sudayim. When he got up early after the Machal came and visited him in Parashat Vayera, and they gave him the Besuras, and they spoke about Sudayim, so he got up early the next morning to go daven on behalf of Sudayim. So those are the two cases of Yashka Avram Baker. We're just seeing, we see the reason back to the mitzvahs, we connect it to Bris Mila and say, when's reason is? In the morning. It doesn't, you know, it's not considered a stiritus reason going at night, doing it early in the morning. That's considered proper's reason. Somebody's bothered. Why are you doing the bedika night? Do the bedika. You don't want to do it right before chatzayis because you want to be his reasons. Do it in the morning. Says Gemara, Amar Nachmar. It's like, you know why you do it at night? Two reasons. First of all, people are out in the field throughout the day, they're working. We don't want it to be at a time when they're working, even though we pointed out yesterday that many places had a minute not to work in Erev Pesach anyway. But okay, we don't want it to be at a time, daytime, when people are out working, doing errands, doing chores. Therefore, we say do it at night. Number one, they're in the house. Number two, for RNR, Yafel Lebedika. And at night when it's dark, the contrast with the RNR makes it very good. That the light candlelight is good for Bedika. So you have both benefits. The RNR is good for Bedika, and people are home. And therefore, we Gachamu Geyser, that the Bedika should be done at night. That's why it's done at night, not in the morning. Says the Gemara, I'm Abaye Hilkach. Now they've established that nighttime is a good time when the people are home, and therefore we want them to focus right away. And when the bias and do bedika and use the candlelight at night and do bedika at night, not mess up. Therefore, we say a person shouldn't engage in learning either. Hilkach Chaysev Rabbanan, a Tam Chacham Leiliftach Bednei shouldn't start learning. Shouldn't begin learning at that time. Beorta Delesa Nagi Abiyasa, even towards the end of the 13th, towards one end of the day, going into the 14th at night, he shouldn't be learning then. You know why? He'll start a learning Seder then. Dilma Mashkei Leishmaita, because maybe his starts the Seder is going to schlep him. He's going to get carried away with his learning, which is a beautiful thing. V'asi Dilimnei V'mitzvah, but in this case, it will be bad because it's going to hold him back from the mitzvah of Vedik. Interesting that we're not promoting starting to learn Torah then, because it can get in the way of the mitzvah Derabbanan of Vedik Pasha. The Vedik is Derabbanan. Again, according to Rashi, you're doing it to avoid the Raisis. Again, the Mishnah by Rabbi Yematz. According to Tesis, you're doing it to avoid seeing Gluska Yafa, which the Gemara is going to say, seeing a nice piece of cake and eating on Pesach. But the point is, the Vedik itself, Pashtas is rabbinic, but we're saying that still we're concerned if he starts to learn, he's going to get distracted and not do it. Therefore, he should be careful to not start learning at that time. Which is interesting because the first point out, the Bachar asked the question. In Brachas, the Gemara discusses saying Kriya Shema, and the Gemara discusses when you start saying Kriya Shema, and about not going home to eat first, the Gemara says, because if he goes home to eat, he'll go home, he'll eat, he'll get tired, he'll fall asleep, and he'll forget to say Shema. So therefore, he should go to the Sakin, that right away, when it gets dark, come home from the field, come up from the work, go to the base manager, learn a little bit. Interesting, it points out to learn a little bit. That wasn't really part of the Sugi Nebrachos, but it's important for us now for this question. Learn a little bit, daven Mayriv, and then go home and eat. So you're saying Shema before you go home to eat, before you eat, because otherwise you'll forget and not say Shema. But it does say learn a little bit. It says about learning before Shema, even though it's nighttime, it says learn a little bit. Ask the Bach, why are we makben not to learn? And over there, we're not makben. Answer the Bach very simple, because Shema, Kriya Shema is every single night is a mitzvah. So even if you learn a bit and you get stopped a little bit, you're not going to forget. We're not so concerned you'll forget about Shema, because it's something you do every night. Whereas, we're concerned. We don't want you to eat and fall asleep, but we're not concerned when you're learning will be a nimshach you enough when you're in the shul to forget to say, ultimately say Kriya Shema. But on bedikas once a year, we're scared that if you get distracted with something, your person would forget, and therefore we're more makben not to start to be distracted with learning. Okay, now a few things on the idea of the reason why the mitzvahs. First of all, I'm not going to have time for this. I don't want to fall behind. On the reason why mitzvahs, there's always the two powers of the reason why mitzvahs versus Berei B'Mahadosh Melech, which is why you'll find often people will not do a bris mila today, modern day, earliest in the morning. We just spoke out. You got to do it from Rashi. From really, the Gemara really says about Zizim Akdim for Bris is do it Vashkam and Biker, do it early in the morning. So the earlier the better, not before Nates, but otherwise the earlier the better, that we do say. But Lamaisa, there is a concept that if you do it early, you're not going to get, you're going to have less of a crowd. But Rav Hamadis Melech trumps having a bigger crowd, being you know, proliferating the mitzvah, and the celebration of the mitzvah could be bigger than doing it there's reasons, and therefore there's definitely a reason to say. I think the place can say that actually wins out. The Rav Am wins out the Zrizim Akdimin, and that would be certainly a valid enough reason, if not more important, that you should wait till later as opposed to doing it earlier. That's one point. Another point on this is Taisus. We referenced it before. Taisus actually asks, Vayashkin, what do you mean you bring a ride from Avram getting up in the morning? Avram Avinu by the Akedah should have gone at night. Why? I'm mixed it up. Today says opposite. Today says for chulin that we know a talmid chacham is not supposed to go out at night, and that's why we do the morning. You asked why do bedikah at night? You see, his reason is only for the morning. No, because you can't go out at night in your house. Do bedikah at night, and the reason why the mitzvah say do it at night. The reason why you ask me about break is because we just had a yesterday in the gemara. Actually, Tosfos doesn't quote this, but we have a chitay. If a person should come in when it gets dark at night and go and only travel back out when it gets light in the morning, so he waited to the morning. That's why he only went in the morning. But otherwise, if reason why the mitzvah would say if you have the ability to do it earlier, do it even at nighttime. So Tosfos is bothered. The Tosfos quotes the word chulin, which speaks out very specifically about Atam Chacham not going out bichidi b'layla, not traveling outside. But the point is the same idea. Maybe that's why he waited to the morning. But maybe his reason why would actually say go back to the night, and therefore the Maris Kasha shouldn't have even started. Answer is Tosfos that Avram Vinu, when he went to the Akedah, had with him Yitzchak, of course, and he also had with him the Narav Yishmael, he had Eliezer with him. There's no problem traveling in a group at night. And also we spoke of this far from the Silberstein just yesterday about going pre dawn. Going pre-Alais to go out. He was talking about kids going to the Kaisel, but going to any minyan to daven eight, we're traveling, could be alone, outside, in dark at night, to go daven. So we don't have Mazikio anymore, we pointed out. And also we have Shluchim Mitzvah Nizakin, says Tais with this far right here, that Avraham is going to a mitzvah, he has Shluchim Mitzvah Nizakin, and he also had with him a group of people, and therefore traveling at night should not have been an issue for Avraham. He did not have to wait for the morning. You know why he waited for the morning? Because Vashkam Vaker, for Vizvizah's purposes, morning was enough, first thing in the morning was enough. He didn't have to go at night. That is Tais' answer. So that what is the Raya? What's our raya that Vashkim and Biker means Rizus then? So the raya of Vashkim and Biker is Rizus is actually the other case by Sadaim. By Sadaim, the fact that he went out first thing in the morning, that's what the Gemara is referring to when it says Vashkim, that is the raya of Zriza Makdimin being in the morning. Okay. Zakti Marvaiter. But I mean, this is going to touch on the last topic of the day. There's one or two questions within this topic, but this is the last topic of the day. Baimine Marav Nachman Bayitzak. The answer from Nachman Bayitzak is as follows. A person who rents a house to his friend on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach. Ami Livdik, who is the Chiyuv B'dika on? Amask Livdik, is the Chiyuv B'dika's Chametz on the landlord? The Chamir Didehu, because obviously there's Chametz there right now. Who's it belong to? It belongs to the landlord. And therefore he should be the one to B'dika. Aydilma, Al Seich Livdik, or no, it's on the Seich, it's on the tenant to the B'dika, the Shubar Shusikai, because he's the one that the Chametz is in the Shus. Right away, that Chorinim jump all over this, the Pnei Yeshua, the Chsam Sefer, Rabbi Chanan, the Rishash, they all jump and they say, why wouldn't this be clear? And some of them actually want to stick with this. The Argamara's Shaila is really telling the Machlekes. We had it from Daf Beis Man Aleph, we spoke out. Machlekes Rashi Tosfos. We went to reference it already tonight again. Why we do a Bedika in the first place? Is the Bedika for Bayer Rabbi Yamatzah, says Rashi, in order to avoid being over Bayer Rabbi Yamatzah? Or is the Bedika, Al Shemayim, which is with the Mara's Lashon, Al Shemayimza, Gluskiyaf, and maybe you can find a nice piece of cake, and Mil Pesach, you'll see a nice piece of cake, and you'll eat it, even though you Mavatal, Tosfos says, for Bayer Rabbi Yamatzah, you Mavatal Chametz. The concern is, maybe you'll find a nice piece of cake and eat it. That's the concern. So says the Achreinim L'Chari, that should be the two stones of our Shaila. If you hold this by Rabbi Yamatzah, who does the chametz belong to? It belongs to the landlord. It should be his job to check. If the concern is that maybe you're going to find a nice piece of chametz on Pesach and eat it, whose problem is that? That's the problem of the purpose of who's going to be dwelling there on Pesach. Will be the job of the tenant. So the Chayre, the Machlekes, and it's not Kishmak to say this, but the Machlekes, whether Rashi and Taisvas, should be the two sides of our equation, of our Shaila, whether it's incumbent on the tenant to do the Bedika or the landlord to do the Bedika. This is a question that the Achreinim, someone actually won't explain it by the way, but it's a question that they're asking. Pnei Yeshua says, I'm sure others say similar, says an interesting approach. He says essentially, Enachanami, Avadu and Machlekes Rashi Taisvas, and it would make sense to plug in the Machlekes, we're not going to dispute that. But our Shaila Gemara is even so. Even if Tosfos can ask Shaila, and not be totally in the Machlekes, meaning, according to Tosfos, the reason for the Takan, and vice versa, Rashi, by the way, according to Tosfos, the reason for the Gzeira is you're going to find a good piece of cake and eat it on Chalila on Pesach. According to Rashi, the reason is Bayu Matzah. But the question still is, what were the mechanics of how the Chazamah were Masakin, the Mitzvah B'dika? The reasoning would seem to align with the landlord being Machlev, according to Rashi, with the tended to be Mechukot Tosfos, but it doesn't have to be that way, because that would be totally, what did Chazal say when they said there's a mitzvah B'dika? Did they make it a Chiyuv B'dika? Did they plug it into the owner, the Baal Bayis, or did they plug it into the tenant? That's good for the Shaila. You're right, it would make more sense logically to plug it into the owner, according to Rashi, and according to Tosfos, into the tenant, but it doesn't have to be that way. Even according to Rashi, that the reason by Rabbi Matzah, maybe the method that Chazal used was plugging in a Chiyuv to the one who's dwelling there, and therefore the two things are not necessarily Tully Zeb B'Zeh. That's how the Pnei Yeshua deflects the connection between the Rashi Tosfos Machlekes with our Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara now to resolve the Shaila, two attempts. Attempt number one, Tashma, I think at least maybe more than two, but at least two are coming up on the summit. Tashma, one who rents a house to his friend, the tenant that's put up the mezuzah. What are you seeing? The chayr, you see that the tenant is considered the one who has responsibilities. Here too, we should be the one that's doing the bedika. Answers the gemara, no. Over there, Mishashi has taught the mezuzah is a chayv of the dar. The one dwelling there is mechayv mezuzah. Rashi actually sticks in the point that the one who dwells there gets also a shmira. So it's an interesting point. Avada, the mitzvah mezuzah, is because the Torah says there's a mitzvah mezuzah. We don't do it because of shmira. We do it for the mitzvah. Ramamim says if you alter the cloth in a way that it's like more symbolic than it's for shmira purposes, you've actually made it into kameya and you ruin the mitzvah. And he says very strong lashon. It's like taking a mitzvah and butchering the mitzvah, which could be chayv misa. Ram is very strong. Obviously, even though Ramam also agrees, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that mezuzah is also Shmira. We're not denying the fact that mezuzah is shmira, but that's not what we do. We do it for the mitzvah of mezuzah. Therefore, says, but Agamar over here does answer and say that mezuzah is chayvus hadar. That's clear. It's not a shayla. Mezuzah is there. It's the mitzvah of the dweller from the Torah. It's his mitzvah. And he also, Rashi points out, adds in some more color. It does protect, and therefore makes sense. The one who's dwelling there is the one who needs that protection. It's the one who has that mitzvah. Therefore, that was never a shayla. Our shayla was my mezuzah. Our shayla is back by chametz, by bedikah, says Gemara. How come I shaila what's me? But in our case, Amar Lo Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Rav Nachman says, "I'll bring a proof." Tanina, we learned the Rabbeisa. Hamaska Rabbeisa Chaveri. He was one that they asked the child to Rav Nachman Yitzchok. So he says, "I'll bring you an answer." Hamaska Rabbeisa Chaveri. One of his house, his friend, Imash the Muslim Maftechus Chal Abaser. If the 14th was Chal before he gave over the keys, before the landlord gave the tenant the keys, so who had the keys by the 14th? The landlord. He's got the chiyuv. I'm masked live because I'm masked to do the bedika. Misha Maslam Maftechas Al-Khal Abasar, if the 14th was after the keys were already given over to the tenant, then who's on the chiyuv to do the bedika? Al Seich live like it's on the tenant to do the bedika. Whoever has the keys, Bishas the Chalais of the bedika, is the one who has to do the bedika. Says so. Rav Nachman Yitzchok wants to make a tully in whoever has the keys. I'm sorry, so the Gemara does bring, after the Gemara brings a raya, that ultimately it's not going to be patient. The Gemara is going to ask another Shabbos, which is not going to be patient. But Rav Nachman Yitzchok is being patient to Shaila, that whoever has the keys, he's the one that is chayv to the bedikah. Rashi explains what's the symbolism of the keys. The keys are Kenyan. If the landlord had the keys, he didn't go over it yet to the chiyuv. Bedikah starts on the 14th, and he didn't give over yet. It's his chiyuv. Once he gives the keys to the tenant, if the tenant had it before the 14th, then the tenant already had a kinyan, as keywords Rashi, the keys are like a kinyan, and therefore the tenant was ownership of the bias, mishas lechiyev of bedika on the 14th, and therefore he's going to have to do the bedika. That is Rashi. He says, since when is giving over keys one of the kinyanim? We know the kinyanim of a house, of property, real property, is either kesef, Shtar, Chazaka, Mark Kedushin, Kesachar, Chazaka, what do we see giving over keys as being a Kenyan? So therefore, Tais learns, no. Giving over the keys, Bedika is not telling Kenyan. Bedika is telling who has access. Whoever has access, Beshastachi Bedika, that's the one who should be doing the Bedika. The landlord has the keys, he has access, he's the one Mukhi Bedika. If the tenant already has the keys, he has access, he's the one Mukhi Bedika. It makes sense that whenever the Chiyav takes place on the 14th, that whoever has access, that should be the one Mukhi. That's what Tais learns, nothing to do with Kenyan. Which would be enough Kamina to Rash Tais, what if there's two sets of keys? I mean to pick a funny case. If the landlord has, which in most normal cases, the landlord keeps extra set of keys. If it's a verdict of access, the landlord has access and the tenant has access, maybe it wouldn't be a chiyuv. According to Isis, you have to know, maybe they're both b'chiyuv, maybe none of them b'chiyuv. But according to Rashi, once the landlord gives over a set of keys to the tenant for sure has a kinyan. According to Rashi, they call it a kinyan. By the way, some of the first who come to defend Rashi, for Isis Gasha, I can do see the kinyan is Kesar Shtar Chazaka, not giving over keys. They say, Enachami, but this is a temporary kinyan. He's only been credited for Pesach for 8 days, or presumably, or for a short, it's a short time rental. And therefore, for a short-term rental, maybe a weaker kinyan is also sufficient. Okay, that is how they answer the for Rashi. That Tosfos Kasha. Says the Mar Vayter, another shayla within the shayla. We already discussed the shayla that if someone gives over house the 14th, whose obligation is it to do the bedikah? Now we have a new question. What if you rent the stam? The case before was clear, wasn't badak, shalos, who does the bedikah? Here you're doing a stam where you need to specify if it was badak or not. Could the tenant assume who gives over a house on the 14th without having a bedikah done, and if we could assume it was badak or not? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Let me just ask the landlord. The Ma'anaf Kamina, literally, let me ask the landlord. Answer the Gemara, no, the less the less shyly. The guy's not around to ask him. He's not around to ask him, and therefore, we have a shyla. Is it considered badak or not? So do we say he's got to worry he wasn't badak and has to do a bedikah now, and if Pesach run around doing a bedikah, or do we say, no, he could assume it was badak, no one really gives over a house that wasn't badak, he can be rely on the chazaka that it was badak. Says the Gemara, I love Nachman Yitzchok, answer Tanisua. I have a proof to you. How can I from the following baraisa? How can I manam b'yachametz? Everyone's believed to testify that b'yachametz that a house was the b'yachametz has gotten rid of from house, which means to the bedikah slash disposal. Afilu nashu afilu ketanim avad afilu ketanim. Even nashu avad ketanim are neman. Even though the chiddush of afilu are not normally edim, they're still neman. My time to handy. Now, why are they believed? Now that's the baraisa. So, ask from Nachman Yitzchok. He asks rhetorically, why are they believed? Are they believed because it's already chazak? They're not normally not kasher edim, so they believe because it's a chazak. It already was checked. Says Martavam Beis. Talanam Vez on top. Lav Mishim the Cheskas Badik isn't it because it's the Cheskas that was Badik, and that's where they're believed, and it's a right. The Kasavar Kol Nachem Akol Chaverim Heim Eitzel Bedikas Chametz. Everyone's a Chaver. Everyone's like a Tamachak and a Bedikas Chametz. We're going to see in the next Gemara that a Chaver is always trusted to take Trumas Maestros. No matter what, right away, take Trumas Maestros. So the Gavi Bedikas Chametz, everyone is so knowledgeable about the concern of Bedikas Chametz and the strong obligations related to it, and therefore everyone's like a Chaver, and if we could assume for sure it's Badik, isn't this a Raya that it is Cheskas Badik, and the guy who rented wouldn't have to check. That is Renach Mesos Raya from the fact that Nashim Avad Mekhtanim are believed. So the Gemara first explains where we see this idea that Chaverim, that knowledgeable people, are believed by Shumas Maises. Says the Gemara, a Chaver that died and left over a storehouse full of pears. Even if there, it was that day, he only filled up the storehouse that day and never, then he died. Haray. He had died right after he gathered the same day. It's guaranteed. A chaver, once he brings it to the storage house, it was ready mesukin. He doesn't bring it in without having it be mesukin, even though he died that same day. So we see the concept of a chaver being trusted. So maybe a kol chaverim eitzel, everyone's considered a chaver, the guy with b'dikas chametz, and therefore we can rely that the b'dika was done. And when a person rents on the 14th, and he can't get a hold of the landlord to find out if he did b'dika, he can assume he did b'dika. That's what Nachman says. Proof. The Gemara says not so fast. The brightest story was, but then Isha, the Eved, the Katan, all said, we know it was checked. Maybe that's why it worked. Without them saying that, it wouldn't work. In fact, Gemara Atamir Dani Midim Shashbis, but we knew that they said that, but we said they're not Kasher Edim. Says the Gemara, Elamai, the Cheskas Badik, 1 second. So Elamai, you're right. Like the Rebbe Nachmanitzik is explaining the Braisa, that it was Badik, and that's why it's good. Then why did the Braisa even mention the fact that Eved, a Katan or Isha giving testimony? Just say, no one has to say anything. It's Becheske Baduk. That's the main point anyway, says Gemara. I call the manim. If it's Chesed Baduk, why does it say everyone's believed? Sounds like it's saying some sort of chiddush that the Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim are believed. What are you saying? Just say, all houses are considered Badik already on the 14th. Says the Gemara, Elamai, the Gemara says, right, it's very Gadiq. And such a Gadiq, the Gemara is going to bring a Raya now the opposite direction that we're trying to bring. Rav Nachmanitzik was trying to bring a Raya that the house is considered Badik. We said a Raya you don't have because somehow we're integrating the fact that the Nashav of the Ketanim have making a statement here. Now it's saying, on the contrary, it seems to be opposite. Only for some reason, because Nashav of the Ketanim is saying something, is it considered Badik. Without that, it wouldn't be Bechasa Badik. Says the Gemara, Elamai, Mishama Mirad Hani, if you give me some credence to the memories of these people, had they not said anything, it wouldn't be good. Tiff should be right the other way. You had a Shaila, the Rachman Yitzchak brought a Raya for the Braisa, there's still a Raya, just another direction. There's a Raya that certainly, that ain't Chazaka's a Badak, that normal house is not considered a Badak, just by Chazaka. Says Gemara, no. A Raya we don't have either way. Why? Light. Light may not tell you Chazaka's Badak, really is Chazaka that's Badak. Normally it's Chazaka's Badak, except in our case, where we're talking about where the Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim, speaking up, what are we talking about? It's a case where we have a chazaka to presume that it wasn't checked. We have reason to believe, normally we say it would be checked. Over here we have reason to presume it wasn't checked. But these people, the Nashim, the Avadim, the Ketanim, were saying, Badikna, we checked it ourselves, we checked it. You think they're don't give them an amanis. Since we think it's Ramadan, it's Bidarban, the Raisa, Bitaba Amasagi, and the Midaraisa, Bit alone sufficient. Therefore, him, Rabban, and the Karabban, they're saying, the whole thing's Rabban anyway. We just point down, I'm not off. I'm saying the chayr is drabanan. Here it's really black and white. The Gemara that the bedik itself is drabanan. Bittul min adaraisa is good enough. The whole bedik is drabanan. Even according to Rashi, you're doing it to avoid bayar matzah. The bedik is drabanan. The isra bayar matzah is deraisa, but the bedik is drabanan because you're already doing bittul. The bedik is only rabbinic, and therefore we're going to be maimin the ketanim, the avadim, and the nashim to say bedik was done. That's the chiddush. We have no right to our shayla was becheses baduk because we could be talking about a case where it was understood, presumed that this particular house wasn't Badak, still we're going to believe the Nashim Avadim Ketanim. Now, Tosafot says, obvious Kasha, Avadim, we understand, Ketanim, we understand. Nashim, we treat every time you come, every day you come from you come home to the house, and the Isha puts down food in front of you. You're going to say you can't trust that's kosher? Avadim, we trust that's kosher. Nashim, there's a din at the Pasuk of Eidus in court, but Eidachan is never to say whether something's kosher, and that applies both to men and to females, to males and females equally. Avadim, we trust the Nashim, Legabe, General Asurim. The guy that didn't need to, we trust Hashem to count for themselves. The guy with so many didn't, we trust. Well, all of a sudden over here, we're not trusting. Says yes. Because anything that's biyadai, anything that's biyadam in their hands to take care of, we say, of course, we trust them. There's a no trust issue. We trust when something's biyadam. Something which is out of biyadam. So over here, why is it out of biyadam? Because the bedik is very difficult, they said. Since it was very difficult, there was a concern that maybe that's also considered get of not biyadai, not so simple to do, and therefore maybe there should be lack of trust. Kamashmon, we still trust this drabanan, if we trust it, but there'll be a havmina that there wouldn't be trust by the Nashim. The Achrayim already point out, I quoted this already a couple of days ago from the Rav of the Shul where I grew up, Favakon, Shlita, but the Achrayim already point out that this is a unique case where clearly the Chazakah has changed. It's unbelievable. Taisa is saying that the Chiddush HaGemara is, you would think the Isha wouldn't be believed for this Kamashmon, they are believed. They are believed. But even though they believe in everything else, they believe the Gabi, other Kashrus in the house and all that type of stuff, you think for this maybe they wouldn't be believed, Kamashmon, they are believed. L'chayra, this goes back already hundreds of years, it's flipped major, where if you want to make sure you have a kosher for Pesach, typically, again, it's not a foolproof rule, but typically it's the nashim that are much more particular about making sure there's no chametz in the house than the anashim. And there's not just a new 2020 chauvinist comment. This seems to be going back generations already, where the nashim are always much more machmer on cleaning for chametz than the anashim, than the men. We point out sometimes it's actually too much. Sometimes it's totally not irrelevant to the relevant, right at the end of the first Mishnah. We discussed, we talked about you're only supposed to check a place where you're being chametz, a place you don't be chametz, no chief to check in the first place, and also things that even when the chametz that's brought is for sure buttles, tiny little crumbs, it's buttle, it's not considered edible, not considered chashev, you don't have to check there either. B'dik HaSlamis is not spring cleaning either, but the bottom line is, Nashim are certainly much more makbin on checking these days than Anashim. So it's funny, it's almost like a case where not that the Chalila, the Torah, or Chazal, the Taisus is wrong. Times have changed. Times have clearly changed. So Agamos coming out that there certainly could be believed, they could be trusted, but the point is, it was a Chiddush, and now it's saying it's almost Pasha. Now it'd be a Chiddush, I would say, if I could jump on a limb and say, probably Chiddush to just trust the men on their own. It's easier to trust the Nashim. We're going to actually have one more, we'll go a couple more lines. We're going to have another case today also of a Chazaka that seems to have changed with time. Very interesting. We'll have two in one day. And not none of them in the Gemara. Both of them are in the Rishayim. This the first one was one we just spoke out in Taisvus. The other one's going to be in based on the Shulchan Aruch. Let's see. Let's go through my lines, and then we'll stop. We'll speak in that last halacha of the day. Says the Gemara. Not the Shailah on the same topic. Hamas Kabbalah Chaver Bechasa Baduk. One rents a house his friend Bechasa Kabbalah that it was Baduk, and what happened? And it wasn't Baduk. Come on, Tashina Baduk. He found that it wasn't checked. So Mao, could he say it's Mechel Tais and go and say, I want to rent another apartment. I have another apartment available. I want to go there instead. Or no, he's locked into the contract now, and now he has to do the Bedika. Mi Yavik Mechel Tais. Is that Mechel Tais or not? Tasha Ma. So Abaye says the following. Damar Abaye. Not only in a place where the minig is that people don't pay others to check, meaning they check themselves. People want to keep the mitzvah and do it. They want to schmitz themselves and do bedikah. So in a place where they don't pay others to check, then certainly in that place, the guy wouldn't be able to claim and say, oh, I don't want to check. I wanted to have the rent already checked. It's that the minig in that place people want to check. And therefore, he would not be able to get out of the deal just because it wasn't checked. He wants to do the mitzvah with his own guf to check himself. Certainly over there, he can't get out of the deal. Even further, even a place where what? Where they pay money. They pay others to do checking. That's what they do. They pay others to check for them. So we see people aren't so much to do themselves. Still, what are they doing? They're paying money to check. They want to do the mitzvah of paying with their own money to the bedika. And therefore, we say, it's a person to do a mitzvah with his money. And therefore, he can't back out of the deal because it wasn't checked, because he still would want to pay with his own money and do the bedikah either himself physically or at least with his own money, and therefore it's not reached to back out. This guy's saying I don't want to do it. I'm saying it's very nice, we're in a city where that's what people are knowing, but he's saying I don't want to do it, I want to go to a different place. So Rashi explains it's exactly that. We're concerned that he really wants to just back out of the deal because he found a better location, a better apartment that he wants more. Instead, he's not backing out because the bedikah is backing out for another reason, and he's not allowed to. The only reason to back out would potentially be because of the bedikah, and we're saying the bedikah alone is not a good enough reason. So on this topic of nicha, that a person is nicha, which is end of this halacha, that a mitzvah should be done with his money, we actually have this, the Shulchan Aruch discuss, if a person goes into shul, and he doesn't have talis and tefillin, he wants to have a minion, and he doesn't have talis and tefillin with him, so he's able to borrow a talis and tefillin from someone under the assumption that a person wants nichale, that a mitzvah should be done with his chafetzim. These days, people are a little more macro on hygiene, maybe you have to know exactly who you're dealing with. Some people are really, really particular. If you know someone that can be real particular, presumably it wouldn't be okay, because you know it would bother them. But the stummiest in the belt is, you go to most places where people aren't such pachaches, then you could assume that they would be happy for someone to use the talus, happy to use the tefillin, and also very important details, because it doesn't get ruined, doesn't get damaged, it doesn't really lose value. However, Shulchan Aruch says a sefer, which can get used up, you know, the more used it gets, the more damaged it gets, the less it diminishes its lifespan, that you can't just use without permission. And here's another place where Paiskim do speak out. They discuss that Prisman Azeh, that goes back, you know, a couple of years ago, Svarim were more scarce, they wouldn't have as many, you know, such a access to Svarim, and when a person had sefer, he wanted to keep it intact as long as possible, be merged with his children. Bisman is that Baruch Hashem, we have Sfarim proliferated, there's tons of Sfarim, they're not so hard to come by, and most Sfarim that people have, they're not necessarily going to be merged with their children, because they keep coming out with newer, nicer, more better prints and things like that, and therefore, there's probably less of a kapeda. You find that people are makbet, but usually right inside, they're makbet on someone using their sefer, otherwise there may be an assumption, maybe, again, times have changed, again, Shulchan Aruch said not, but it's because the Metzias, times have changed a bit, and could be, even on a sefer, could be, I'm not saying matter of fact, but there are Pesach would say even a safe one could use it with the assumption that nichle, the person would be happy that a mammon, his mammon should be used for a mitzvah.